Welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with Strahan.
Hey, it's Odie Strahan, and I'm having one of the most amazing days of my life. Hopefully you are too. Let's get this show started. What's going on? What's going on? Welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with Strahan. Guys, we are in for a treat. Great episode today. Today's guest had a very successful freshman season of college this past year. A year prior, he was arguably part of one of the best backcourts in Northern California at Burbank High School, leading that team deep into the playoffs. Today, got a special guest, Amari Nesbitt, to talk about not only about his transition into college at College of Sequoias, his freshman year, and so much more. Amari, you out there, brother?
Yep, I'm here.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Happy to be here.
Appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. Like I said, I'm really, really excited to hear how this freshman year went. I know a lot of people, you know, last they saw you, at least here locally, is you having that phenomenal senior year with your brother and with the rest of your, your teammates and coaches. Great year at Burbank. So, but first and foremost, I do want to congratulate you on a great freshman campaign. But before we get into the season, what I do want to ask is, what do you miss most about high school ball? I want to start off the bat right there because I know you and your brother and the rest of the crew it was a movie senior year. So tell me, what do you miss most about high school ball?
I would say I just miss the support, like from everybody that was in the city and they that knew about Burbank and me. I just miss the fans and all that, like in all the rival games, especially like the grand games. It would be like a packed gym. So I just miss the packed gyms and the environment.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. And it was a great season. There were a lot of great games that senior year of yours.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of great games.
Any specific one stand out?
I'd probably say the Laguna game when we were
I knew you were gonna say that. By the way, that one hurts. Yeah. You know that. That one. I knew you were gonna say it. But go ahead. You were down. Go ahead and give it to me. What happened, man?
I think we were down 20 plus. It was 20 plus. Then we were just, after halftime, we just went to halftime. The coach, he got on us, told us that we gotta fight through it. We can't lose to Laguna. We came over here not to lose. So we went back out there and just started playing defense. And we just, I think went to overtime too. You haven't went to overtime. So I had to go in and just be clutch for real. But yeah, that was a good game.
What's crazy about that game is you got off to a horrible start. You remember? You got off to a horrible start.
No shot.
And you even missed a dunk. I don't know if you remember. You missed your bomb in the first set. Oh my goodness!
I remember.
And then all of a sudden, you're right. You guys turned it on. You locked up on defense, you know. And that was a great game, though, man. It came down to the wire. That was crazy. That was crazy, though. That technical foul that was called at the end.
Was crazy. I forgot about that.
Yeah. But absolutely, man. I'm pretty sure that was one of many great games. But so it's the support of the city, basically, huh? Is that the biggest thing you miss about high school ball?
Yeah, the support. Yep.
Gotcha. Having gone through your first season at College of Sequoias, and your first season of college ball, is there anything you would have done differently your senior season? Like, is there anything that you would have maybe appreciated more?
I think I would change, if I would able to go back, I'd probably get in the weight room more and work out way more and just get bigger. And I also play the point guard position more.
Gotcha. So based on that answer, I take it you're seeing the physicality even at, I mean, college level is college level. I don't care what college you're playing. You're seeing the physicality is a lot different at the college level.
Yeah, it's way different. Yep.
And it's interesting you said about playing the point guard position because I know because your size, I mean, I guess you'd be labeled a one, but your game is you're a two guard, bro. I mean, your gift zone, your strength is getting buckets, but is that something you're working on actually moving forward? Is becoming more of a point guard or maybe more of a true combo guard?
Yeah, more of a. Of a combo guard. My main position is still the two, but I still got to work on playing the one position because sometimes I'm not going to always be at the two. So I'm still working on trying to be a one.
Let me ask you this. What is the most difficult aspect when it comes to, you know, because obviously naturally you've been a two, you've always been asked to score, you've always been a scorer. What's the most challenging, what's the most difficult aspect about, you know, getting accustomed to playing the point guard, the one position?
I say for me, like personally, just for me, I would say like being vocal, like just based off my personality, I'm like really like laid back. I don't really talk like that. So like, it was a hard time for me to be vocal and just like take control of like of everybody, like talking to my teammates and communicating to them. Yeah. So I would say that's like the hard part for me.
That's a good point. You know, for the most part, you know, I mean, point guards have to be vocal. And a lot of times the leaders on the team is the point guard, you know, because they're pretty much an extension of the coach onto the court. Gotcha, man. Well, let's get into this past year. You know, how was it being away from home? I know Visalia is a lot different than Sacramento. So how was that adjustment?
I don't think it was like a big adjustment for me, just because it's like probably like 3 hours away. Yeah, so I didn't really have to adjust like that. But like, if it was like out of state, I would say like it would have been hard for me. But it's pretty chill, because I could always come back like for weekends and stuff like that. So it's been cool.
Being close obviously makes stuff, the adjustment, you know, a lot smoother. But Visalia itself is not like Sacramento. Talk to me about that though. The city itself, when you're there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. It's kind of like, I'd say Sacramento is like more like, it's more stuff to do in Sac. Like in Visalia, it's like nothing to do. It's just, if you're an athlete, it's just you're the sport you're playing basically. So for me, it was just hoop, workout, eat, sleep. So yeah,
keeping it simple. I got it. Yeah. Man. Let's get into this freshman year, man. You had a very talented team, but and I'm sure, you know, you knew that going into it. You knew, you know, some of the players that had committed probably at the same time or maybe just a little after you. What expectations did you have for yourself going into that, into this freshman, into your past, you know, this past freshman year, knowing that, you know, the team was loaded and stacked with talent?
I say going into my freshman year for college, it was just me being impactful. Like, I was just going into, like, thinking, like, yeah, I'm just going to play my role. Like, whatever the coach said I have to do, I'm just going to go and do it and be coachable and just try my best to help the team win.
All right, so let me ask you this. So coming from a position, you know, like your senior year at Burbank, where it was your team, you had the green light, the offense essentially ran through you and Isaiah. And like I said, you know, 20 plus points a game, a handful of 30 point games. How was that adjustment?
I said adjustment was kind of hard, because like when I got to college, I was thinking like, yeah, I'm about to be like one and done. I'm about to be a 4 year after this and just like go crazy. But it's like it takes time. I noticed that it just takes time, and like it takes growth, and that like what I just got to find. Like I just had to realize that like going to college is like a bunch of me, like. Like, everybody is good. It's just not, like, you're not the star anymore. So, I had to adjust and just get everybody, like, involved and play with my teammate, find the rhythm with them.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Talk about that, because, you know, like I was saying, the team, you guys were one of the top teams in the state, fully loaded, a lot of guards, a lot of wing players, right? You know, but that's a very mature outlook that you had when it comes to, man, a lot of the players look like me, right? A lot of the players, they play like me. I mean, obviously not exactly like, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, similar skill sets. So once you recognize that, were there anything like specifically that you thought, okay, well, hey, if I could do this, I can get on the court. You know, what ways did you see that you could help the team based on the fact that you saw other players that could score the bucket just like you? I mean, is there any parts of the game that you're like, hey, you know what? This is how I'm gonna help this team out.
I'll say defense. Cause I ain't gonna lie. Like in practice and stuff, I'll be like locking. I'm going at the best player. Like if I know like the coach likes you and like you're like the best player on the team, like I'm just gonna go at you. Like I'm gonna try to lock you up. So like in practice, I was getting a lot of stops and stuff, and it showed in the game too. I was playing good defense, getting stops, and that's what my role was basically for my freshman year. That's how I got minutes, was playing defense.
And that's crazy, because one of the best scorers the year prior in high school, you weren't really known for defense. Not to say you didn't play good defense, you know, at Burbank, but it's not what you're known for. For you to obviously make that shift and, you know, mentally, you know, and had that defensive mindset, that speaks volumes, man. A lot of people can't do that. You know, a lot of people can't do that, especially when they're used to. Another thing, too, is you're used to having the ball in your hands quite a bit. You know, I watched a handful of your games. There are a lot of times where you went down, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 possessions. You didn't even touch the ball. How was that? Mm-hmm.
Like, at the time, I was like at the beginning of the season, I was, like, kind of mad, and I was, like, getting hard on myself. But I had to take some time and, like, realize that, like it's just not me. It's just not me on the team. Like, I got to wait. I got to be patient, like, to get mines and stuff. Like, it's always going to be, like, next year, stuff like that. So I always stay, like patient and stuff with stuff like that.
That's good, man. I mean, like I said, that's something that, you know, that we always say, you know, trust the process, right? And it's part of the journey. But like I said, for you, I always find it to be a little bit more impressive because you came from a role that was completely opposite of that, you know? And, you know, a lot of people, and even probably yourself, thought you would step into wherever destination, you know, you went and just pretty much continued where you came from, you know? So that's a real, you know, it's a real mature mindset that you had there. Let me ask you this. What were the differences? What stood out, the difference between high school and college ball?
The difference?
The biggest difference. What's the thing that kind of hit you the most? Like, man, this isn't Burbank anymore.
I'd probably say the competition. The competition, like, stepped up. And, like, my the teammates, like for Burbank, my teammates, like, they were good, but they weren't, like, on the level as I was. But, like, in college, like, everybody's going to be your level, and you're going to have all good teammates, like, all around. So I think that's the biggest difference, was, like, the player level.
I think it's safe to say every one of your teammates were the best players on their high school teams, on their respective high school teams, right?
Yeah.
So essentially it's like kind of having an all-star team together, especially with, you know, your team, because you guys were. How many games did you guys lose last season? Three? Was it three?
Yeah, three.
That's amazing, man. That's amazing. So let's get into the team specifically. Talk to me about, you know, exactly the talent level, like who were you were playing with. I know you have some familiar faces, right? You had a familiar former teammate on there. Talk to me about, you know, some of the players you got a chance to play with your freshman year.
The freshman year for Burbank or freshman year?
Sequoias.
Oh, who stood out, like the good players?
Oh yeah, or just who so the listeners could hear, like, who exactly were you able to play with? Because I'm sure, you know, obviously based on, you know, where they're listening at, they're going to be able to be familiar with some of these players you played with.
Oh, I'll probably this point guard named JG, Terry Miller, and I'll probably say Tyree.
Gotcha.
I'm missing out one too. Ty Jean Barrow.
Gotcha. Who's the young fellow that played at Modesto Christian?
Oh, Alex. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention him too. I'm not going to say the whole team for real.
No, you can say the whole team. I wasn't trying to put you on the spot like that. But I was just trying, you know, I was just trying to get so the listeners could hear, you know, basically if they weren't following you guys this past year, so they get an idea of who was on the team. So, and like I said, that's the players you just named right there were all top level. In fact, are they all returning, or did some of them already transfer to their next destination?
Hey, quick break here. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but we'll get right back to it. I would like to take a moment to talk about Rock Solid Basketball Training and Player Development in Elk Grove, located at 9096 Elkmont Way, right off Grand Line Road. Coach Phil Ritchie, former Gold High School standout, all Pac-10 player at Oregon State, and 13-year professional with a coaching resume with the Sacramento Kings, brings a high-level experience and knowledge to the area. Coach Phil Ritchie offers group, individual, AAU team training, and specialized clinics for youth, college, and pro players. And make sure to follow Coach Phil Ritchie on his Instagram at @coach_Richie. Again, that's @coach_Richie. Richie spelled R-I-C-C-I for more information. And go to the website, myrocksolidfitness.com. Again, that's myrocksolidfitness.com to learn more and select basketball training. And for direct contact, dial 209-810-1412. Again, that's 209-810-1412.
And Tyree are returning. Everybody else, they left.
Gotcha. And when you say left, you're talking about left to a, you know, D1, D2, D3, right? They were able to move on?
Yeah, they were able to move on.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I mean, you guys didn't lose that many games, and you guys literally you know what's crazy is when you guys came in with your second team, that second team was probably better than most starting fives in California for JUCO.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, I'm serious. I mean, there'd be times where I would watch your guys' games and the bench would come in and actually open up the lead even bigger, you know? And I'll be honest with you, it's been a while since I've seen a junior college literally sub in, five in, five out, bro. I'll be honest. Yeah. I haven't seen that in a while. I mean, did you ever think you were ever going to be part of a rotation that literally took five people in, five people out at the college level?
Nah.
I mean, that talks to me about, you know, how deep the team is. Talk to me about your coaches and the culture, you know, like the actual, you know, the type of atmosphere that they created for you guys. You know, it looked like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it looked like a pretty tight knit team. Were you guys pretty close?
Yeah, we're very close. Yeah, we were close.
Yeah. I mean, I would think in a city like Visalia, like you said, there's not much to do. So
yeah,
you guys would have to build some brotherhood and some camaraderie, right?
Yeah, facts. Yep.
Gotcha. So you were able to break into, you know, I wouldn't say you break into the rotation. Your minutes, definitely you earn your minutes on the court. Talk to me about some of your highlights this past season.
I'm just gonna talk about my biggest game. It was when I dropped 27. And I didn't, like, my field goal was 100%. Like, I didn't miss a shot. Like,
what'd you shoot?
What I shoot? I forgot what my field goal percentage was, but
you didn't miss a shot?
Yeah, I didn't miss a shot.
27 was the season high this year?
Yeah, that was my season high.
That's awesome, man. And that was that game, was the 27 points off the bench?
Yep, it was off the bench.
Man, hey, that doesn't happen too often. You got someone dropping 27 off the bench and you said perfect field goal shooting. That didn't set a record for that didn't set a record for the school?
No, I don't think so.
Or they would have told you. Yeah,
they don't really talk about that. No, that was a sleeper game. They don't really talk about that either.
Hey, you need to go back and talk to coach, say, hey coach, am I in the record books, man? You gotta check that. I mean, if you had 27, you probably at least went 11 for 11, 12 for 12, unless you went to the free throw line a lot or you had three-pointers, right, at that point.
Yep.
Yeah, talk to me.
I don't think I went to the free throw line.
Talk to me about that, the alley-oop to Tyree.
Oh, yeah. I ain't going to lie. I knew he was cutting. Like, I've been doing that since high school with Tyree, so every time I'm running – and I looked at, like, I could see on the side of my eye, all I see is, like, shoes running, like, quick. I just see shoes running heck of fast. So I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Tyree. So, yeah.
That went viral. That went kind of crazy, man.
Yeah, it did.
Let me ask you this. What's one thing you wish you could have done better, you know, your freshman year?
I'll probably say not listen like to other people and just play my game, not let other people get in my head. Cause this season I was letting like a lot of people control my game, what I can do and what can I not do. So I was like, kind of like in between, like, I don't know if I should shoot this shot. I don't know if I should, like, what should I, like, I was just like thinking too much, but I think I'll change this, like, just doing me, like, just going for it and just playing like Omari really plays. I'll say that. Well,
when you say people, are you talking about specifically teammates? Are you talking about outside, you know, friends, family? What exactly are you talking about? Or coaches?
Yeah, coaches, teammates, and outsiders. Like, it was like a mixture of all them. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I mean, at the end of the day, when you got recruited over, they knew the type of player you are, you know? And I think more importantly, you know the type of player you are. Always, you know, and that's one thing, but that's a big challenge, like, you know, as we've been talking about throughout the whole episode, is you went from the star role, ball in your hands, pretty much green light anytime, you know, to take any shot, to really having to take a role and not get the ball as much. So the complete opposite, right? But I agree with you, man. I think whether you got heavy minutes or you got, you know, spare minutes, when you did get in, it probably best that you do play your game, right? But then again, you were also able to you were able to be cognizant and smart enough to understand that your role on the team was different. And I honestly think that, you know, once again, I know I've said it throughout the podcast, I think that was very mature of you. And I think that's something that's going to, you know, hold well for you, moving forward for sure. What do you feel, you know, what part, so between the end of that end of the season, now we're in the summer, about to start, you know, get ready, you know, for your for the next season. What part of your game do you feel do you need to work on or develop even more?
I'd probably say my choice making. I'd probably say my choice making, like knowing what shots to take, knowing what shots not to take, and just like I said earlier, like being more of a point guard, taking control, and like getting everybody involved and picking my spots where I could give other people the ball.
Is the point guard position a position you're going to be transitioning into?
No, it's just like say if point guard is like getting trapped or something like that, and they're not able to bring the ball up, I gotta take control and bring the ball up and get everybody like together and like set up a play or something like that.
Gotcha. So it sounds like you want to be, you want to work on your decision making, obviously with the ball in your hand, to not only be a playmaker, not just essentially just a scorer, but you want to be a playmaker.
Yeah, gotcha. I want people to see that side of me too.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Hey, I mean, to me, getting 13 assists is just as impressive as getting 25 points, probably even more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, you know, you're creating for others, you know, because, I mean, everybody can create for themselves. Well, not everybody, but you get what I'm talking about. I think the more impressive aspect of it is being able to create for others, especially if you already know you can score. That only adds to the value that you have on the team and while you're on the court. Now, the lot of movements, obviously, when it comes to basketball, it seemed like there's 50 million people, I'm exaggerating, but 50 million people in the transfer portal. What are your thoughts on the transfer portal and the impact that it's had when it comes to you guys? Because, you know, even you coming out of high school, one of the top players locally, you were up against a lot of people, because not only the players that graduated in your class, but also, you know, thousands and thousands of players that's in the transfer portal. What's your take on the transfer portal?
Shoot, I ain't gonna lie. I kind of like the transfer portal because it just makes me like more hungrier to get up on players to like take their spot, because like it's like players like transfer here to COS. It gives me more like, okay, like yeah, I gotta take their spot. Like yeah, I've been here already, so like it makes me more hungrier.
Hey, I think that's the mindset you gotta have, right? You got. I mean. Nothing's given, everything's earned. And at the end of the day, even before the transfer portal, basketball's competitive. And yeah, the fact that you have the transfer portal makes it even more competitive, because as you mentioned, just because you're there this past season doesn't mean much if you have, you know, new people coming in. And there's a lot of bounce backs too. I mean, were there any bounce backs from this past season on your team that, you know, came from a D1, D2, D3 down, you know, back to the JUCO?
Last year was some D1s that bounced back, but this year it's like some D2s. A lot of D2s that bounced back. Yep.
How many D1 bounce backs did you have on last year's team?
I think only JG. Yep. The point guard we had.
Do you remember what college he came back from?
Massachusetts.
That's big time, bro.
Yeah.
Think about that. He came from UMass. UMass?
Yeah.
Back down. Man, that's some crazy talent right there, man. JUCO is, let me ask you this. And be honest, this is a straight talk now. Based on how you perceive junior college to be, and now that obviously you just spent your first year at the junior college level, how has your outlook on junior college basketball changed?
I underestimated it. Like at first I was like, nah, this is junior college, I'm way better than this. But like me experiencing now, I'm like, yeah, this is actually good. Like I feel like this is a good fit for me. Junior college, it was a good fit for me, and not to like just go straight to D1 or D2, because I'm still able to like work on my game, get stronger and stuff like that. It would be better for me to get ahead So when I get to like a D1 or D2, I'll already be ready, like ready for it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think a lot of people, I think they've always slept on junior college. I mean, junior college, it's a battle. I mean, you're really battling to extend your basketball career. Because most people don't make it. Most people don't make it out of high school, let alone are able to extend it to any level, whether it be, you know, JUCO. If you're fortunate enough to get to NAD, you know, D1, D2, D3, you know, I mean, that's amazing. Let me ask you this: overall, how would you describe your freshman year? And you know, were you happy with it? Were you satisfied, you know, with your freshman year?
No, I wasn't satisfied with it. But over, like, for myself personally, I wasn't satisfied. But like for the team. And like how we played, I was satisfied with that. But me personally, I wasn't satisfied because I feel like I could have done better. But at the end of the day, I'm still growing and stuff like that. But I feel like I could have played better like throughout the freshman year.
No, man, that honest self-evaluation is always big, you know, because then you're able to obviously pinpoint at, you know, what you exactly need to work on, what could have went better, and then you just move forward. So what are some goals do you have, you know, moving forward? What's the next step for you? Like I said, are you returning for a second season? You know, what's the plan for you?
I will be returning to COS for next season, but, I'll be redshirting this season to, like work on my body, work on my game more, just to learn the game more and just like be more, of a visual learner, like like for practice and stuff, watching film more. And see what I got to work on to get prepared for my third year here.
That's interesting. So you went from thinking you're going to be a one and done, right? Yeah. Obviously, one of the top JUCOs, very successful track record, and immediately going to be out. To, I mean, this is good for people to hear because, like I said, I mean, here you are, you know, one of the top players, so they can see, you know, to not always be in a rush. Like I said, this is a process, right? It's a journey. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. I mean, so. What brought you to that decision to redshirt and not play this next coming season?
I think the decision I came to was just like I got like a lot of stuff to work on with my game, just because like I'm a young player. Like last year, I was like the youngest player on the team, and it's just like for redshirting, it'll give me a chance to just, like I said, get stronger and just like learn the game more.
And then from there, you plan on returning the following season for your second year.
Yep.
Man, that's interesting, man. Well, hey, I mean, you sound like you have a plan. Is there any specific goals you had in mind this season when you registered? Is there like a certain amount of weight you want to put on, muscle you want to put on, or is there any specific part of your game? Like, what I mean, for you to you know, sacrifice a year to, you know, redshirt, like you said, definitely learn. Be able to see it probably from a, you know, from a different lens, different perspective. But is there any like pinpoint specific goals you have, you know, this year? Because that's really tough for a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people you know, when they redshirt, being away from the game mentally, you know, that's tough, right? Because that's a challenge in itself, because it's a game that you obviously love. You know, and I know you're still practicing, you're still part of the team, but you're not actually playing in the game. So, you know, what are some specific goals you want to get accomplished in?
Hey, quick break here. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but we'll get right back to it. When it comes to your CBD, quality matters. For all natural relief, visit SimpleGardenCBD.com. If 2020 taught us anything, it's how important our mental and physical health is. Simple Garden CBD specializes in third-party, lab-tested, premium-quality CBD products that deliver consistent potency and purity you can count on. Utilizing industry-best extracting methods and ingredients, Simple Garden CBD is proof that not all CBD is created equal. Go check out their amazing lineup of premium CBD vapes, great-tasting full-spectrum, and THC-free tincture oils, as well as their delicious Delta 8 gummies that are absolutely amazing. And don't forget, they also carry some of the latest vape battery technology and designs on the market. So shop now at SimpleGardenCBD.com and use discount code STRAYHAND15 and save 15% on your order. That's right, I said it. Save 15% on your order using discount code STRAYHAND15. Get your order in now and experience the amazing benefits of premium quality CBD for yourself. Add Simple Garden CBD to your health and wellness regimen today. Real CBD, real results.
Some of the goals is just like working on my body, getting bigger, jumping higher, really. Taking more like more like pro shots, like not as I say like pro shots. I'm not talking about like tough shots like that, like make the crowd like ooh, but like I'm talking about like efficient shots, like good shots that would like help the team win type stuff. So really like picking my spots and just like working on becoming a better player overall.
Got it, man. Is everybody you're working with when it comes to like training and, you know, working all of that from the weight room, you know, to the conditioning, to, you know, your agility, everything, is everything in house, or are you working with another trainer?
We go to this, our trainer, his name is Adam. He works with all of us. He works on like speed and agility, our quickness and like getting stronger and stuff. So we go to him almost like every week. So he helps like with us getting like bigger and stuff. And with training, I just I work with the assistant coach here. He's our he's also a trainer, so I work with him. And when I go back to Sacramento, I work with my dad most of the time.
Gotcha. And I obviously, your dad knows a little bit about basketball. For the people who don't know, who are you referring to?
Oh yeah. He loves the game. He knows what he's doing when it comes to basketball for sure.
Gotcha, man. So everything's locally though, everything's in house. So you got the training, you got the physical aspect, the training, agility, you know, with a specific coach, and then your assistant coach. It sounds like who does, you know, basketball development and skills training. He's the one that actually helped you guys train as well.
Yep,
that's amazing, man. That's amazing. Well, yeah, and then before we, you know, wrap up with the rapid fire Q&A, which I always end with. So red shirt, get bigger, stronger. You know, put on muscle. Obviously, continue working on the bag, and you know, seeing the game, you know, improving the basketball IQ, you come back. What are some goals you got for your second year playing on the court?
That, I feel like that's going to be my breakout year. So that's my goal, to just have a breakout year and just like I did my senior year at Burbank. So it's going to be like a rerun of that, but I'll say a better one.
Gotcha. So pretty much trying to mirror what you did in high school.
Yep.
Because correct me if I'm wrong. Because in high school, you played behind some, you know, some of your big bros and got limited playing time at start as well. I would say limited playing time, but you were more of a role player, probably the fourth or fifth option.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah, it's basically like a rerun of high school.
And that turned out perfectly fine for you, right? So, talk to me here. Like I said, this wasn't one thing I was planning on asking, like I said, but talk to me about, you know, how you're able to be so patient, you know, because like I said, we, so many players just, you know, want to see that instant, you know, success, instant gratification. It sounds like you went, which is something you had that type of mindset going into it. Like you said, one and done. Now it seems like you're a whole lot more patient. You see the bigger picture. You see, you know, the actual process, you know, talk to me about that.
I think that's just this growth, me getting older and me like talking to people, like my mentors and stuff in my life and seeing how they feel about it. And I'm just going and me like listening to them. And also, just like my love of basketball, I just love basketball a lot. Even when I was a kid, I wanted to be in the NBA. So like, I feel like me wanting to be in the NBA, I just got to be like patient and stuff. And that got to do it a lot with my love of basketball. Like if you love basketball a lot, you're gonna be willing to like take that patience and just wait your turn for it.
And you love the game, huh? And I say that, I mean, you haven't lost the love of the game, has maintained, if not increased, because as you know, as you get older, there's so much other aspects of basketball that gets involved, right? We won't get to the negativity of that, but you know, other aspects. And like I said, you go to go to a great team, only loses three games, goes really deep into the playoffs, I believe like the Elite Eight or last eight. And, obviously you're not playing as much. Your love for the game never left you throughout the whole process. Man, I only say that because, I mean, for you, you're probably like, yeah, of course I didn't lose the love for the game. But for a lot of people, they do, you know? A lot of people, it really discourages them. And mentally, it gets them down, you know? So, that's just props and kudos to you, man. That's, I can see it, man. I can hear in your voice. It doesn't sound like there's any, It sounds like you have 100% belief, man. It doesn't sound like, you know, there's any doubt at all in your voice in what you're going to do. Like, it sounds like you're focused on, you know, locking in this year and then literally coming out and having a breakthrough year, you know, your second year, so you can move on to, you know, let's call it D1, right?
Yeah.
Is there a specific destination? Is there a specific destination you're eyeing at this point?
My dream school has always been Florida State, but it's in between right now. I got three. I got UCLA, UNC, and Florida State. Those are my three I would like to play at.
Florida State, huh? For basketball.
Yep, that was I was born in Florida. Yep.
Gotcha. So you've been to Tallahassee? You've been on campus and everything?
No, I haven't been on campus at Florida State, but I've seen it, but I haven't. I have been on campus. Last time I went out there, yep, I was actually on campus.
Gotcha, yep. Man. Gotcha. That's cool, brother. That's cool. Well, hey, man, let's wrap up like we usually do with our rapid fire Q&A. And like I said, first thing you think of, and you know, we'll wrap up, man. It's really cool catching up with you. Obviously, you know, hearing about, I mean, you sound a whole lot more mature, man. I'll tell you that much already. You can tell, you know, you not only matured, you know, on the court, but definitely off the court. But what I like about it is that, you know, your passion, your love for the game, and that 100% belief, is the same, if not, has increased. You know, and your clarity in what you want, you know, has always been there, which is something I've always admired about you, man. You know, you're very confident. You're very clear on what's going to take to get done. And so now this was great to hear. Let's get into it, man. Toughest player you played against this past season.
I'll probably say my teammate.
JJ. Your own teammate.
Yeah.
That's the young bull that came from UMass.
Yeah, I'll probably say that's the toughest one because he was better than the players we were going against.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. You know what? I'm gonna have to go back and look at some old video, man. For some reason, he didn't. What number was he? He didn't like. No, I mean, y'all were good. Not one person stood out like that.
He was number one.
All right, I'll have to go back and look at that. So I mean, a lot of off. I know you're a big Jaw fan, but I know a lot of off season changes with the NBA, and it's the summertime. But who's taking the chip next season in the NBA?
Ooh, that's a good question. I probably go with my team. I'm gonna go with my team, the Bulls.
You go with the Bulls.
Yeah, I go with them.
Okay. Hey, appreciate the loyalty for sure. What are you listening to right now on the way to workout? You know, I always like to ask that. What are you listening to right now? What's in heavy rotation?
It used to be Rilo, but it changed now since Gunna dropped his album. So I've been listening to Gunna all the time. So
The latest one?
Yep, this latest album. Fire.
No features?
Yeah.
That was crazy, right?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. What's the first thing you're purchasing with your first professional basketball contract? First big purchase?
House. House for sure.
Gotcha.
For my mom.
For your mom?
Yeah.
That's dope, man. That's dope. Biggest adjustment you had to make playing in college this year?
Playing your role, knowing your role.
Gotcha. Best hoop shoe you've ever played in?
Kobe's. The Grinches.
Hands down?
Hands down. All the people out there, get you some Kobe Grinches. I'm telling you, they'll change you. They'll change you for sure. You'll end up getting buckets you never knew how to.
Oh, man. Hey, last question. Get you powers. Last question, champ, and we out of here, man. Number one advice you have for high school, let's call it juniors and up. Let's call it the more advice you have for high school juniors and seniors. You know, obviously this is a summer advice specifically for them that's going into their junior, senior year. So, you know, varsity years. What's the best advice you have for high school juniors and seniors coming in for basketball?
I would say this is y'all year. This is y'all breakout year. This is y'all year to kill. Show everybody what y'all made of in this. Not let them just have them believe the hype. Like, show them what y'all capable of, and just and keep working, and just love the game. Never, don't fall back. Just keep pushing, and just stay patient, and trust the process, and just love the game. Because if you go out there and love the game, it's gonna love you back for sure.
Man, that's sound advice, man. That's sound advice. Would the advice change for just for aspiring basketball players in general?
Come again?
I said, would your advice change for just aspiring basketball players in general, just for anybody out there that's looking to go to that next level? Is there any other advice you would give them?
For the next level of college?
No, just for any player out there looking to make it, man.
Oh, yep. Yep, I would just tell them to, like, keep working and always, like, oh, yeah, keep your grades up for sure. Keep your grades up. Focus on school and stuff first, because without that, there's no – you ain't going to see a ball. There's no making it to the NBA without taking care of school first. So make sure your grades is up.
I like that, man. I like that, because you're a perfect example of a scholar athlete. I mean, what was your GPA when you graduated high school?
It was 4.5.
You graduated with a 4.5.
Yeah.
That's amazing, man. That probably should have been brought up more. That's crazy to me. You graduated with a 4.5, and I'm just learning about this. And I've obviously been following you for some time. Congratulations on that, man. Seriously. That's amazing in itself. That's not even a student athlete. That's a scholar athlete right there, man. That's a scholar. That's amazing. And so I'm definitely glad you dropped that, you know, as the last, you know, the last advice that we said on this pod, man. Well, I appreciate you for coming back on, man. Like I said, it was great catching up with you. You know, I'm gonna be, you know, continuing following, you know, your journey. Of, you know, if you need anything from me, like always, just, you know, just reach out. But definitely want, you know, thank you for making some time to get back on the pod, man.
Yeah, appreciate it for having me.
No, you got it. For everybody out there that wants to continue following Amari, his journey, you can follow him on IG. His handle is Amari.Nesbitt, just his name, Amari.Nesbitt. That's his handle on IG. I don't know, you want to shout out a Twitter or Threads? What you got, Amari? Is that good? Is the IG good?
Oh, yeah, the IG is good. Yep.
All right, man. Well, for the rest of you guys, thank you for joining me for another episode of Straight Talk with Straight Hand. Continue having a blessed day, guys. God bless.
Thanks for tuning in to another Straight Talk with Straight Hand podcast. And if you haven't done so already, click the subscribe button and make sure to follow him on Instagram at Straight Hand, Strayhand. And we will catch you on the next episode.